Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I have a great show for you today. I really do. You know, I'm a big supporter of the Pittsfield Public Library. For you new people, it's called the, what is it, Athenaeum, whatever that means. But we always knew it as the Pittsfield Public Library. Great people work there, great events. And here's why I am such a big, big supporter. Is simply because, from my experience on the criminal justice side of the world, if you can't read, you're done. And these two people here, Vanessa Benambi, what they do with the kiddo section and what Alex and the whole team there has done to open up the library and make it alive. It got a little, pardon the expression, stuffy. Now it's an exciting place. Don't tell anybody. I sometimes just walk through there just to get the vibes. But good morning. Introduce yourselves, please, and your official titles.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having us. My name is Vanessa Justice. I'm the young adult librarian. So I work mainly with teenagers, but also with kiddos and adults as well.
And she's younger compared to me.
And my name is Tom Jorgensen. I am a adult services librarian. So you'll see me on the main floor of the library, back by the reference area. And so most of my work is with adults, but some of the work that Vanessa and I do crosses over with teens and younger adults as well. So I kind of focus a lot on technology, on teaching classes, helping people with technology. So I'd love to talk a little about that today.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I do a lot of kind of community outreach and partnerships with other organizations.
Oh, that's great. That's absolutely great. You work with technology?
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. I'll come in, Vanessa, make sure when you see me come in and ask Tom for help with technology, you lock the doors. No.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've seen that because, of course, we have computers available for people to use in the library. They're free as long as you have an ID or library card. And we see a lot of folks who come in and if they don't have a computer at home, maybe they might not be super familiar with how to use one.
Right.
And so they ask us for help very often. And sometimes that's even with their own devices. If they get a new phone or a new computer, or they need to fill out an application online, there's things that folks might not be familiar with. And
yeah.
So they end up coming to us for help. And so we've kind of created this structure for folks to be able to set up a little bit of time with a librarian to get some help with kind of basic tasks on the computer, filling out an application. I helped someone connect their Bluetooth headphones to their phone the other day. They had gotten them for Christmas, didn't know how that worked, so I helped them with that. So a couple examples of things that we help people with regularly.
And I want to say this too, to the people who pay taxes in Pittsfield. Think about another service we get, a wonderful service we get. Tom, Vanessa, the kid. My wife and I, we were there for, I forget what, we walked through the kids section. And it was so alive, Vanessa, and just mom and dad on the floor, mom on the floor, kids with books, asking. It just really and truly, I can't say enough good things about what you guys are doing. I really can't.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
no,
thank you.
You deserve to hear it. Because, you know, I forgot to start the clock. You got me so excited, but that's don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. There it goes. I got it. It's a service, and I think unless you are taking part in the service that is being, you don't understand it. And the other part, and Tom, file this in case I forget to ask you. Talk about the passes to the, like, Horton and all that place when we get to it. So,
okay.
Vanessa, you got a big school break week coming up.
In February, the February break?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, February
Yeah.
vacation. And for folks that you can check out my website, is B Sturgeon. It's so, I mean, you got stuff going really the kiddos. What an opportunity for kids to get out of the house, get off the television, the telephone, and go and do exciting stuff.
Yeah, we have programs happening all the time for all ages, babies, teens, school age kids. Today we have, I believe it's a cubism for kids today,
Wow.
which is really fun that they're going to be doing in the children's library. So they're going to do some artwork. That's going to be exciting. I am really excited about a teen program that is also involving children. It's called Reader Leaders. We have a training session on January 24th at 3:30. And this program is where teenagers are mentors to youth ages 5 to 8. So
Okay.
teenagers who are 14 to 18, high school age, can come to the library and read to children, and children can read to them, and they can just be, cheerleaders for the kids to like gain experience reading and to build their confidence. Like I said, the training is required. So after the training, there will be three sessions that we will read to children in Feb one in February, one in March, and one in April. So it's once a month on a Friday for
Okay.
three sessions.
Okay, this may not air for that, but that will air for the sessions, the training
Okay.
course. And that's development of teenagers. That's a gold star on your forehead. I don't have it here. Get it from But no, listeners, viewers, listening to they're involved in kiddos. They're involved in the community. They're there. I can't, again, I just will say too, and I've got the little calendar, young adult events, on the Monday the 3rd of school break. You've got a scavenger hunt. How cool is that for teens?
Yeah, so we've been doing this a couple months now. Every month we have a scavenger hunt that changes. And they basically just go around the library and answer 10 questions. So they go to the balcony level, the main level, and the children's level. They ask people questions, they find things in the library. And once they complete those questions, they turn it into one of the service desks and they get a prize. So
Now,
it's
how
been very popular.
I'll bet.
Yeah, it's a fun way to get to know some of the young people using the library, find out what they're learning about the library, and we can learn a little bit about them. And it's a great way to kind of build some relationships in the community.
that's a very poignant thing, Tom. Thanks for saying. Do they learn about the library? You learn about them. And
Exactly.
I'm in the midst of finishing a third book, and the title of it, well, my title of it, you never get to choose it really, but I'm writing it, All Kids Are at Risk Today. The research is demonstrating that, and what you guys do, that piece is so. Yeah, I'm trying to understand them, and I know I don't look it, but I'm in my late 70s. So, thanks for saying that, Tom. I didn't look it. You'll be on again. But seriously, what a marvelous approach you guys are taking,
Yeah.
and I think
And
that you're not stuffy.
thank
Yeah.
you.
And I mean, I think with one thing that I really love about Vanessa's Reader Leaders program
Yeah.
is so I've worked with plenty of teenagers and young people in the past. And one thing that I've noticed is you can take someone who might be a quiet kid or a little bit of like a class clown or
Yeah.
troublemaker or someone who might otherwise be like a little disengaged. But sometimes if you give them a leadership position, if you give them a responsibility to help help raise someone else up, they will rise to that occasion. And I love that about Vanessa's Reader Leaders program is it gives kids a little bit of a chance to be a role model.
Yeah.
and to rise to raising this younger generation.
And
Yeah.
responsibility. And
Exactly.
you're now coming up the ladder, so to speak, as you're no longer a toddler, you're no longer a first grader, you now are whatever, and we entrust you. That's great stuff, in my opinion. Oh, I better say this before you get in trouble. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way, no way represent the Pittsfield School Department School Committee, Mayor Marchetti, who gave an excellent speech on State of the City. It was wonderful. Peter White, President of the City Council, and the people who, the diehard bike riders that are out there when it's freezing cold. But where did you come up with this Vanessa, leaders?
So there are other programs nationwide where they have like reading buddies, things like that. So it's a model that has been done in the past, but I think the way that we approach it is a little bit different in that we train them, train the teenagers how to read to a child, how to manage behavior, like if they're not paying attention, how to get them to pay attention. And so it's library staff who have gone to school for this sort of thing, training the teenagers on how to approach reading to children and having the children read to them. So I think it makes it a little bit unique.
It does. And where do you do this? Down in the children's section down there? In your
So
section?
in the past, we've done it. So this is the second iteration of this program.
Yeah.
So we had a small group of teenagers participate already, and we did that in the auditorium space just so we can make little sections
Oh, yeah.
separated. So we make it like a little cozy area with the beanbag chairs and the carpets and rugs, and then we pull out the books, and so we make it individualized. Going forward, we might move it to the children's library just because of logistics and things
Yeah.
like that. So.
I really like, and I know I said this, and when you get to be my age, you can repeat yourself too. But it's an open learning, hospitable, inviting place to go now. The library. And I mean that. When I was a kid growing up, it was really stuffy. You could shh. And it was, but now, I mean, you have, I know people who tutor there, because of the environment. It's welcoming. You have your little food room now. I don't know what it's what a
Yep,
cafeteria
some
or
food
something.
zone. Yep.
Yeah. And so to the public who haven't been in the library, please. And the other thing is, update your library card. They're really cool now. They're not paper.
And
So
a
if
new
you
thing that
still have
just,
a paper card,
yeah.
you're probably expired. I mean, not you personally, but the card.
So a new thing that we just implemented is you can renew your card online
I
now.
saw that.
So you can still come in person and we'll do that for you as well, but you can also do it online if you have your login information. If you don't have that, you can call and we can figure that out for you.
And the other piece is this, kind of get a 30, Tom, maybe this is in your bailiwick, a 30,000-foot overview of everything that the library has. I mean, it's just not books anymore.
And I could go on and start just making a list of stuff.
Yeah.
And that would overwhelm me. I wouldn't remember everything that the library has. But I want to draw attention to one thing that you
Yeah.
just said, Bill, about how you see the library, you walk into the library and it's like bustling. That's what we
Yeah.
want. The tutors, there'll be times of day when there's tutors at all of these tables, and that's with organizations that are not even part of the library, with literacy volunteers, with LitNet. Their tutors meet to do English lessons, citizenship, that kind of thing. But then I think the library is really like kind of a place for connection, and for people to meet in small groups. We have a book club, that's a great place for adults to connect. I've been to that myself a few times. I see people in the library who are doing study time on their own, who use it for remote work, use our Wi-Fi while the library is open, but then also after the library is closed. I didn't used to have Wi-Fi at home myself, and so I would go to the library, and even if the library was closed, I would sit outside and connect with the Wi-Fi outside. And
A
so
lot of people
Wi-Fi
do
is on
that.
24/7. And I think that technology, the internet access, Wi-Fi technology, that's all something that we're really trying to emphasize at the library, because we loan out hotspots for internet access on the go. We loan out Chromebooks for someone who needs a device. And so all of this stuff is something that we're going to highlight at a event coming up next Thursday, January 23rd. It's from 4 to 6 p.m. here at the library, and it's the Technology Resource Fair. And so what this is going to do is bring together, this is where the connection and community part of the library comes in. We're going to bring together 10 different organizations from Pittsfield and the surrounding area who do work related to supporting and providing resources related to computers and internet and technology. And so this is something that anyone can drop in between 4 and 6 p.m. It can drop in, visit the tables that these organizations are going to set up to learn more about their services. And what I really want out of this program is for people to leave with something concrete, not just like a brochure or flyer, but I want people to have signed up for a class. I want people to have filled out an application for a service. I want people to walk away with a question answered or a technology problem solved. And so one example of organization that's gonna be there is PCTV. I think we have some viewers that would be on PCTV or at least online here. And so, they would be there highlighting all of PCTV's wonderful programs and services, but also their new role as a digital navigator for the community.
Great guy.
I saw a press release about this the other day. They hired someone with that title, digital navigator, and I've met him a few times. He's wonderful. And his role is to provide like hands-on assistance for people with their computers, with getting connected to internet and devices. And I think he plays like a really pivotal role for the community in helping kind of advocate for and get people connected with internet and level up their technology skills. The other week I was teaching a 3D printing class at the library, and he came to that. He knows about 3D printing himself, but he came to that to see what we were doing. And he actually, I don't think he was even on the clock, but he jumped in and he sat next to someone else who was struggling a little bit using the mouse and finding where he needed to be on the computer. He jumped in to help him along with that class material that I was teaching.
Yeah, he's a great.
So Samuel will be there, PCTV will be there. That's just one example of the organizations that you'd be able to connect with. So that's the Technology Resource Fair next Thursday, January 23rd, 4 to 6 p.m. here at the Athenaeum. So
I'm
yeah,
gonna
hope to see a
try.
lot of folks there.
I'm gonna see if I can rearrange the schedule to get you guys on sooner. That's in my belly. But again, to the people who are listening, the reader, especially seniors, you're familiar with the old library. Please go and learn about the new library. You just heard Tom explain. Bring your grandchildren to Vanessa's stuff. I mean, it's I think the statute of limitations is way past. But I used to sneak cans of Coke in my coat when I would go into the library. So in case, and I would drink it, But you have a cafeteria area now. It's a different ball game so much.
Yeah, so we implement these changes to make sure we're meeting people where they are. So we know people need a snack, they need a drink, so we bring the foods on. So we like to think that we adapt to what the community needs and serve the people that we're here to serve.
The other piece before I forget is the library has passes to the library, the library, the museum, Moby Dick's place out there, and all of, and you if you have a li I believe you have to have a library card, is that correct?
Yes.
So let's see, I had a couple friends in town right before Christmas, and we were looking for something to do. It was one of those really cold days right before Christmas. We were looking for something to do. And we were talking, we had the idea, oh, like we should go up to Mass Mocha. Haven't been there. I
Yeah.
moved here in the within the last year, so I hadn't been to Mass Mocha yet. And I checked the library's website under the museum passes, and sure enough, they had some passes to Mass Mocha available. And so I checked them out. It gave us, I think we got two free passes. And so we went up to Mass Mocha, and so we only paid for two out of the four people there. And so Mass Mocha was one of them. Like you said, the Melville Museum is one of them. I know, like, the Basketball Hall of Fame is one
Yeah.
of them. You can check out free or discounted passes to a bunch of different museums or performances, cultural institutions around here. I know how important the arts are to the Berkshires and to the culture of this area. And so I think
Absolutely.
that's something that I love. I love that we as a library support that, support our partner organizations and making those more accessible to more people in the community.
Yeah,
So
it.
yeah, you just need a library card in order to do that. And
Yeah.
we've mentioned how to get a library card yet. If you already
Oh,
have
okay.
one, of course, you can renew it. But if you do need that library card, all we need is a photo ID and your current address. So those can be the same thing. If you have a driver's license with your current address on it, just bring that in. We'll get you a library card right away. Otherwise, some other kind of photo ID, and then piece of mail, bill, lease, something like that with your address.
Yeah, or even your wanted poster. You can bring that as long as
Or
you.
your
One
wanted
thing
poster.
I do want to specify is to get a museum pass, it does need to be an adult card, not a child's card.
Oh, okay.
I didn't
Let
know.
me now, Vanessa. Give us an overview of your after school activities. I think that's great too that you guys provide this.
Yeah, of course. So after school activities is just a broad term that we've come up with to just put a time slot in for like doing crafts, having video games, board games. So just it'll depend on what we have available on those specific days. But yeah, we just want to have something where the youth can, spend their time here doing something that they enjoy and socialize. And yeah, it'll just change throughout the month, the different days that
Wow.
we have slotted for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And what is the RPG club?
So that is Role Playing Game Club. And
Oh.
that is Dungeons and Dragons, Magic the Gathering, Pathfinder, those sorts of things. So we actually have a partnership with PHS. The high school right next door. One of their teachers, the advisor for their Dungeons and Dragons club, comes over and they have their meeting here, and it is opened up to anyone within high school age. So they don't have to be a PHS student. It can be a Taconic, homeschool. We had people from New York coming over. So it's really a really great way for teenagers to get to play Dungeons and Dragons and use their imagination, do math, create characters. So it's pretty involved, but it's an amazing program where there's lots of people there willing to help and teach people how to play this game. We have volunteers who come in and run the games. We have teenagers who are running their own games. So it's a really fantastic program that we've been doing for a couple years now.
So
And it does
that's,
go throughout the summer as well.
oh, cool. Yeah,
Yeah.
and that's the other piece I want to, because been at, but the library in the summer is a great place for kiddos to
Yeah.
go and explore. And of course, talking about the summer on a day like today, they're going to think, "Boy, he is goofy."
It'll
But
be here sooner than you think.
I hope so. Got this on and but. There's programming consistently for everyone. It's a dynamic. I guess the word I was looking for before. It is a dynamic place now. And I thought, and this isn't a, it's an evolution, just like, society is evolving. Libraries have evolved to be dynamic rather than stagnant, stuffy places. And what we see in our library here, I've always been a big supporter of the library, and I hopefully can continue to do that. But when we talk, all young programs are teens from 12 to 18. That's a nice range, because
Yeah, and so,
you see them mature, you see them grow.
yeah. Yeah, and so our general programs are 12 to 18. For specific programs, we might have a different age limit. Like the RPG Club is for high schoolers. The Reader Leaders is for high schoolers, so on the higher end of the teen range. But the after school activities, the Nintendo Switch gaming, our parties that we have, we just had an art party the other day.
Wow.
Those are for 12 to 18.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think the most, and this is unfair, but what's your favorite program? I'm going to start with you first, Vanessa. For
My
all the
favorite
programs
program.
you do.
My favorite program that I've done, it was a one-time event. We did it 2 years in a row, but the Halloween party, Halloween.
Oh, I
So
yeah. I was there for it. It was a blast.
it's
Yeah, I
tons of
promoted that
fun.
really heavily too, remember? Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
No, thank you for doing
We had teens show up in amazing costumes, so there was a
Yes.
costume contest. We had art activities, so making slime, painting pumpkins, just all sorts of fun things, and it was just a blast both years that we did it. So we'll do it again next year, this year coming up.
Yeah, I remember, and I wanted to get to that, and something, well, always something, but I remember promoting that heavily because I was vested into it, as with this, we're going to have to take a break. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are also PCTV channel 1301, and we are expanding. We are expanding. We are now in Southern Berkshire. And I will eventually remember the call letters in the station, but right now I don't remember where I parked the car. But I want you to know there was an article in the Eagle, and kudos and everything go out to Sean Sayers, our executive director, the board, who are visionaries. And everything's changing, so we have to change with it and grow. If you don't grow, you kind of disappear. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from Precision Brows, specializing in creating flawless microblading that enhances beauty and saves time every day. Find them online at myprecisionpmu.com or call 413-553-1059.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
The Berkshire Queer History Project by Berkshire Stonewall Community Coalition is an ongoing initiative to document the lived experiences of our community and ensure the preservation of our voices in our voices. Our goal is to collect these stories to form an archive that may be used for future exhibitions, research, or simply as a way to remember our past struggles and triumphs and look towards the future together. For more information, please get in touch with us at berkshirestonewall.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Tired of the same old on the radio? Hi, I'm Hannah. Each week I search the archives for hidden gems from your favorite artists, plus all the latest releases and rock trivia. Please join me for Deep Cuts, Thursdays, 4 to 6, at 89.7 WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. These two wonderful people that you see in front of you, they're going to reintroduce themselves, their titles. They are from the Berkshire Athenaeum. For you people over 55, that's the old Pittsfield Library. It's the same place, but they have two different names. It's and I will say this, I've said it before a few times during this interview. It's alive. It's an exciting, I know you're going to think I've blown a fuse, but a lot of people know that. It's not your grandfather's or father's library. They have exciting things. Vanessa runs the children's section. She's dying.
Teen section.
Huh?
I'm teen sorry. Section, sorry.
Oh, the teen section.
Yeah.
She's dynamic. There's stuff happening, and we're going to go some after-school activities, scavenger hunts, Nintendo gaming. I mean, things that may not appeal to a 50 or 60 year old, but they have computer training. Tom is a technical guy. He's going to be there. He helps people with their phones. It should be a destination for you. Put it in your head. You don't have to just sit. Like, I admit this. I had my phone got for, I don't know, 3 months before I knew you could take pictures with it. You know what you're dealing with here. So, I'm excited to have them come and be part and to help promote our library, the Pittsfield City Library Athenaeum. So, Vanessa, go over some of the stuff for school break. I'm sorry.
Sure. So again, my name is Vanessa Justice. I'm the young adult librarian. I mostly do programming for teenagers. If we want to talk about our February break coming up for teenagers, we have friendship bracelet making happening on Wednesday the 19th at 2 o'clock. And then on the following day, Thursday the 20th, we'll have D&D mini figurine painting. So we have the little figurines that you use for Dungeons and Dragons, and we got a generous donation of paint from Mana Crypt. So we'll use that to paint the little figurines.
Isn't that nice? Who was it again that donated the paint?
The store Mana Crypt.
Okay. So there's a little promotion for them. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I like to compliment people because everybody's so kind of negative today. If there's what, you know, like I had snow on my sidewalk. I can't stand it. Well, it snowed. Dude, get over it. Thank you for donating the paint. That's very nice of you. You know, people support them because they donated the paint. Please.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Yeah.
So now that. I interrupted you. Go ahead and continue. I'm sorry.
So those were the two programs for teenagers. For the children, during February break, we'll have our regular Tinker Tots for the little toddlers, 0 to 2 years old. Lego Club, those are both happening on the Tuesday. Actually, I grabbed the wrong calendar. And look at that. So, sorry, our Tinker Tots will not be happening on the Tuesday. It'll be a story time and creative movement. So it'll be like a dance activity happening at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, the 18th. So our regular scheduled Tinker Tots won't happen, but the people who generally come to that will be welcome to that program. And then our Lego Club will continue that week. We have a very really large group of 8 to 12 year olds who participate in our knitting club. So that'll still happen.
Boys and girls.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Course.
Yep. Bilingual story time will happen at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. So that's generally English and Spanish. We have a construction play happening on Thursday in the morning at 10:30. Just a ton of things happening that week. I'll just list off a couple more.
Yeah.
Brazilian instruments and rhythm happening on Friday in the morning, and a winter tree paint along at 2 o'clock on Friday. And then on Saturday, our crafty kids, which we do once a month. So we have tons of things happening for all ages during February break. And we welcome anyone who is interested in needing something to do to stop by the library.
And you know, please do that, folks. Please stop by the library. It is an exciting place. And the other thing that I would like to just, if I may, they got a great reference section. They got a great reference librarian. I haven't used it that much, but when I have, it's been dead on. And the other piece is the local author section. I like that.
Yeah. That local history department is I think one of the gems of the Berkshire Athenaeum and of the region as a whole. We have folks come in here to do local research or family history, of course, from all over the Berkshires, but we get calls from all over the country, sometimes all over the world, people looking for information on relatives or on businesses, history of this area. And I tell you, the people in the local history department, they are so, so knowledgeable. I don't have room in my head for all that history. I moved here from out of state within the last year, but you can point out a picture or say a name and if they don't know it, they're able to find it. But so often they can come up with stories about these things and just tell you the history of the town. And it's beautiful. It's such a gem of this building. Well, I'm not a part of that department, but I have so much respect for the folks who are in there. They're so knowledgeable about this area. It's really something worth preserving.
And you guys also inherited the microfiche from the genealogy place, right? Don't you have all that?
Yeah. Racks and racks of microfilm.
Yeah.
Old news stories, old obituaries, people trying to do family history.
I do have to go back, even back when I was in college working on my master's degree, the reference people were always top notch. You know, they didn't send you on a wild goose chase, and you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, let me tell you, when it comes to reference, so I'm also a reference librarian. I work with technology, and I do kind of partnerships and outreach in the community, but I'm also a reference librarian. And so you'll find me like back at the reference desk. And so you can ask me a question about something you're working on the computer, or research that you're doing for something. One thing that I think is really interesting about how information has changed and librarianship has changed. We hear about artificial intelligence in the news so much right now. And I think it can be really easy to think that that's going to somehow replace what a person can search for, or even replace replace Google and just like typing in a search for yourself. But I think what AI can do, I'm not the biggest fan of it. I don't love it, but I think it's really important that I get to know it as a librarian in order to be able to understand kind of the landscape of how people look for information and how that information is presented out there. So one example is a couple of weeks ago, there was someone who had a pretty specific question about like photos and copyright. And, you know, I'm not a copyright lawyer, of course,
right,
but I was able to answer his question generally in a fraction of the time that I would have been able to if I were just trying to do this research myself. I used an AI tool called Perplexity in order to answer his question. And what I love about it, and I think this is the really key thing to remember about AI, is the tool that I was using, Perplexity, links out to all of these different sources that it drew from. It kind of performs like a live scraping of the internet from what it has identified as reliable sources. And so the information that I was able to give to this patron, I know came from the website of a law firm, and it came from the website for the Copyright Office at the U.S. Library of Congress. So I knew that the information that I gave him was accurate. It wasn't just a hallucination by this AI, because we know that can happen. An AI can make up stuff that isn't there.
Right.
It can give you inaccurate information. So I think that when it comes to AI research and information, I think it's worth treating like Wikipedia. Like, it's a great place to start looking for information. If you're just looking for a quick answer, great. But you want to make sure that information is backed up somehow by a reliable source. And so as a librarian, as a reference librarian, that's something that I think is like really important to mention and keep in mind as we like seek information out there in this world that's impacted by AI. We still need to think about it. We still need to make sure that the information we're getting is accurate.
I'm an old man, and I admit it. It scares me to death. Because somebody said, you know, they can take your image and superimpose it. I said, what the heck would they want to take my image for? Scare people. But, you know, but you're right, Tom and Vanessa, because the kids that are 7, 8, 9 in your library now, when they're 14, 15, AI is going to be everything. You know, listening to all the business and all that stuff, to me, it's very, like I said, to me, it's a little scary. But, you know, you got to, in the Army, they used to say improvise and overcome. And that's what we're trying to do. People just tuning in, because we are a morning show, you know, getting the kids on a bus, getting them off the bus, taking the husband to work, wife to work. This is my I try to do it quarterly, the promotion of the Pittsfield Athenaeum, the Pittsfield Library, Berkshire County. Is Berkshire County Athenaeum, right? Or is it just Pittsfield?
Berkshire Athenaeum. Yep.
Berkshire, yeah. But it's the old Pittsfield Library for people my age and older. I don't even know what an Athenaeum is, but I'm going to look it up in AI.
Place of learning. It is a place of learning.
See, that's why Tom's here. Other than he's a good-looking dude, you know. What's going to be your challenges in the future? I know it's kind of an unfair question, but everybody's facing some kinds of challenges. I'll start with you, Vanessa. Is it funding? Is it? Well, it's certainly not participation, because you get a gold star. Every time I go in there, there's kiddos in there, and that just makes me so happy.
Challenges. Well, as a teen librarian, young adult librarian, there's always the challenge of keeping them interested in what we are providing. So tastes change, trends change. So it's just kind of keeping up to date with what the teenagers are interested in, not doing the same thing over and over. That's why I try to do the quarterly parties as different sorts of things, bringing in different activities. So just keeping their interest, I think, is the biggest thing that I have to keep in mind.
Have you seen, I don't know if you've heard of the book or read the book or read any blurbs on it, Anxious Generation?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I know a little about it.
Yeah.
I haven't read all the way through, but I've, I'm familiar with it.
What's your take on that, Tom?
Yeah, I think, I think the one thing, I think it's a really important conversation starter.
Yeah.
To think about how social media and phone usage impacts the mental health and the relationships and the community for teenagers and young people. But I also think, and this is something that I thought the book kind of left out, was that this doesn't happen in a vacuum. Our, like, young people's parents, the adults in young people's lives, are also using using social media, using their phones, and I think there's a conversation that needs to happen there too, where the way that adults use technology and social media can impact the way that young people use technology and social media too. I think it doesn't give, I think teens have more self-awareness than we often give them credit for. And so I think we can't always place the responsibility on teenagers as individuals for how they use technology, because so much of that is like that, like the book says, it's designed to be addictive.
That's
and
it.
That impacts both young people and adults. So we need to, I think we need to be aware of how that's working in our relationships between adults and young people as well.
And I also think too, this is, we were at a restaurant and there was a mom and dad and three kids, and all three of them were on their phones. All five of them were on their phones, not talking back and forth to each other. You know, and that would have been totally unacceptable when I was growing up. I've said this 1,000 times. You want to send my father off like a rocket, just say, "So what'd you do in school today?" "Nothing." There he goes. But this is all part of what you guys will be doing over the next millennial, I guess. I don't know. Vanessa, you must, how many of the kids come in there with, well, I guess if you're doing teenagers, what a stupid question, Bill. How many kids come in with phones?
Most of them, not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah.
And I will say it's interesting thinking about using social media as a teenager, because there's pros and cons. It's not all cons, as people normally like typically would say, because you can find a community online. You can have friends, you can play games, you can talk to people about things you wouldn't normally talk to people about in person. So there are positives, and it's just a way of regulating that and making sure that, you know, if you're having dinner with your family, maybe you should also talk to your family as well, not just online. So,
oh, Dad, you're here. Huh. I was talking to my friend. You guys are right in the middle of it. You know, I'm passe. I mean, you guys, Tom with his technology and that, and Vanessa, you with the future leaders of the world and our city and county and state, you're cutting edge. You really, both of you really are. I mean, what you're trying to do, just bringing in the kiddos, teens. I shouldn't say kids. I'll get hate mail for that. But Bob, forward it to you. But it's really. I just have so much admiration for the both of you and everybody there, because, you know, if we don't really work with the people and I'm a big believer in this. It's easy to criticize. It's very difficult to encourage. I don't find it difficult to encourage, but a lot of people do. Instead of saying, hey, you didn't hit the ball out of the park, but at least you got a double. And, you know, encourage people to do better. I saw it in the youthful offender program where some of these, by the time they got there, these were adults, these were juveniles adjudicated adults and sent to a penitentiary. They were some of them were so damn downtrodden it'd break your heart. You know, you must see some of it too, coming in looking for something. Let's recap the dates again for stuff, and I'll see what I can do to make this program link up before the dates. So,
I'll start with the technology resource fair. We've talked a lot about technology this morning. And so coming up on Thursday, January 23rd from 4 to 6 p.m. Here at the Berkshire Athenaeum, we'll have this technology resource fair. And that's going to be a time for anyone can drop in, visit with 10 different organizations are going to be there. They're going to have a table set up to showcase their resources, services, support that they provide for people in areas related to computers, internet, technology. And so what I really want to happen at this program is for people who visit to leave with something concrete. That might be they might have signed up for a class. They might have some kind of technology-related question answered or a problem resolved. They might have like filled out an application for a certain service or program. So one example of an organization that's going to be there is, I mentioned PCTV earlier in our show. I'll mention UCP of Western Mass is going to be there too. And they're going to be there to showcase some of their assistive technology. Yep. There's a couple other organizations, Easter Seals, Mass Ability, are going to be there with assistive technology and some of their programming around that. So stuff that can help folks with disabilities or older adults, pieces of technology that might make everyday life a little bit easier, accomplishing everyday tasks a little bit easier.
Okay.
And so they'll have a library of stuff that you can try out on site and sign up for their services if you qualify. So, Bill, I saw in a previous program, I think you used to work at UCP. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So
at the onset of the assistive technology, and it is amazing. And I think for people out there, especially people with disabilities, if you can get to this technology tell-all, I think you should go because there's a lot of assistive technology today that can make your life so much easier. You know, not to take your time, but there's a group called the Villages of the Berkshires. And I know I had a program with them, and this lady was talking about Ring doorbell. Now, we don't think it's that big a deal, right? She thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. She has a difficulty standing and walking, so she can look at her phone and see who's at the door. So it's really cool.
That technology resource fair, Thursday, January 23rd, drop in between 4 and 6 p.m. here at the Berkshire Athenaeum, Pittsfield Public Library.
Tech fair. Okay. Vanessa, your big stuff coming up now. Your dates.
Yeah, so we have an exciting program happening, Reader Leaders. It'll be on Friday, the 24th of January from 3:30 to 4:30. And this is for teenagers who are 14 to 18 years old who are interested in working with children, specifically reading to them and having children read to them. The age range for the younger children is about 5 to 8 years old. So parents will be required to be there with the younger children. Teenagers obviously don't need their parents with them, but this is an exciting program where teenagers get to gain mentorship skills and encourage younger children to read and their abilities in just socializing and experiencing someone who believes in them. So This is a very exciting program. This is the second iteration of this program. We've had a small group of teenagers participate already. And so this training will also be kind of a debrief with the others who have already attended and can give some advice to the newer people who are just signing up.
That is really cool. And I really think too that I'm going to play with this. I think I can make this happen for you. But I have to finish the program because they don't want me. So anyhow, listen, I just want to tell you guys, thank you for all you do. And I mean that. You guys are really wonderful people and you do such great things. And I'm always here for you. But give me at least 3 weeks in advance before you have an event, because I'm only doing 3 days a week now. I got to slow. I'm old. I got to slow. I don't want you to take this as a threat. I will be stopping into the library. So,
All right.
Please
look forward to
tell Alex. Tell Alex he's got to lift a restraining order. So, thank you so very much. I hope this helps. I'm going to work. I'll let you know the exact date if I can play with it.
Okay, right. Thank you so much for having us, Bill.
No, thank you. And to you all, God bless. I know it offends some of you, but I believe in it. God bless. And remember, lift somebody up today. Don't put somebody down. Lift somebody up. We're all in this together. Each other. That's all that we have. These people are trying to help everybody, even me. We'll see you. Thanks, guys. Vanessa, Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.